Good to see everybody here today. We'll have some announcements later on, but we'll go ahead and get in the lesson now. It's a very simple lesson, really, and hopefully we'll learn some things from it. See, a low standard has few rewards. And so the question we ask of you is, are you setting your standard too low? In other words, people set goals for themselves, and if it's very low, then they're not going to accomplish much. They may feel like they've accomplished something, but they're not going to excel in what they do. And so, don't you think you should try to improve your standards? I think all of us can say this. All of us has room to say this. At least we should. And so, after this lesson, perhaps you will. See, too often, standards are set too low. I mean, there's low expectations. And what's going to be the result if you expect low expectations? Low results. Bad results, even. I mean, that's going to happen. And with such low standards, how can anyone excel? And so we see this, and really, it's like the public school system. As long as people do good enough to pass the grade, that's all they really care about. Whereas some want to excel, and they learn, and they make the effort on their own to learn more. And so, how can we improve if we do not continue resetting the standard? We reach a certain level, and then we raise the bar, and we go up there, and we'll have that reference in just a little bit. So we should always be looking for improvement. You know, when Peter said there in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge, means we need to be growing. And that just not initially as we start out as newborn babes longing for the pure milk of the word, but it's basically a continuous process. And no matter how much we learn about God and the Bible and the doctrines of the Bible, there's still room for improvement. We can still learn more, and we can be able to do better in teaching and sharing what we have learned. So that way, we will better ourselves, especially in the sight of God. And so, we think of it this way. There will all be records that are considered impossible to break. Yet somehow we come to realize records are meant to be broken. You know, there's a lot of records that out there that somebody had for many, many years, and all of a sudden, someone comes along and breaks that record. You know, when Jim Brown set the record in football, that's really great. And then a couple others did it. Then Walter Payton set a high standard. And they started saying, well, that'll never be broken. Then Emmitt Smith comes along and breaks that record. Things happen. And so it can happen. You know, like the passing records. Johnny Unitas had passing records. Y.A. Tittle had passing records. And most of y'all don't even know who I'm talking about because they were so many years ago. But then all of a sudden, here comes a new group on the set. We had Peyton Manning and Brady and Drew Brees. And I mean, they're just setting records right and left, and they still have records. And whichever one hangs out the longest is going to finally get that record, which some people say probably will never be broken. But yet we have some new quarterbacks in the league that just might break those records. We don't know yet. But anyway, records are meant to be broken. See, until May 6, 1954, the 4-minute mile was thought to be impossible. And on that date, Roger Bannister did the impossible. And within just a few weeks, several others had also run the mile in less than 4 minutes. And the problem is, they had set the standard low, or for the race, the standard for distance races too low. They said it was impossible. Nobody can do it. And yet somebody did. And nowadays, I mean, if you can't run it in under 4 minutes, you're not even allowed to be in the race, pretty much. So, I mean, that's what it did. Another thing, like we mentioned a moment ago, see, the record for the high jump back then was 6 feet 10 inches. And at the height at which the bar was set for the beginning of international competition was usually 6 feet 4 inches, a total of 6 inches less than what the record was. Some brash young man by the name of Dick Fosbury decided, well, guess what? We should set the height of the bar at 6 feet 10 inches, which is the world record, and start there and see who can pass that. So they didn't give in to him. He didn't get his wish. But for the next 8 months, national and world records were broken, and some by that brash young man, Fosbury. And today we look upon those old records and an indication that with proper training, athletes were capable of more than we had realized. We had set the standard too low. And so when we talk about raising the bar, that's what we're making reference to in this sports terminology of raising the bar for the high jump. I mean, can we do that? I mean, when you start talking 6 feet 4 inches, you're talking here 6 feet 10 inches, you're talking there compared, I'm almost 6 feet, so about that high. It's up to 8 feet now. I mean, or almost 8 feet. Somebody jumping, I mean, that takes some talent to be able to do that, but they can do it. Now, setting the bar too low is usually the result when we set ourselves as the standard. And that's why we have to seek about improving. And it doesn't matter how good we may think we are, as far as maybe our, when we're talking spiritual matters, about spirituality, about our faith, about our Bible knowledge, about our understanding, our willingness to share God's message. When we start thinking about setting a standard, we need to set the best standard. In this case, it's Jesus. Jesus set a standard of spirituality for us that has been largely ignored. And we do that. See, when men and women discuss their religion, it is apparent that they have set the bar far too low. And for a lot of people, I mean, they set the bar so very low that they just really, by not doing hardly anything, they're thinking, and really they're deceiving themselves that, hey, I'm good enough, I can go to heaven, and they do this. And it appears that most people believe that being a Christian consists of merely believing God, yeah, attend a religious service 3 or 4 times a year, or maybe even once a year. Not abusing their children or stealing from their neighbor. I mean, if you can get through life like that, then you're good enough. And they're satisfied with that. And surely, no one can look at where Jesus set that bar. They really don't. He set the bar for righteous living. And now we compare our standards, man's standard. Where are we? We don't measure up. So we need to work on that. See, we read in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, that for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, there's a high standard that God has up there. And since Jesus is God, his ways are higher than our ways. And so, we are told in 1 Peter 2, 20 through 22, says, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And it goes on to say some more, but that's true. Jesus is our perfect example, and Jesus has set the standard for us. If we're not trying to measure up to that standard of what Jesus is and was and what he taught us, then we're not good enough. We're not good enough to go to heaven. I mean, it's just going to be that plain and simple. Sometimes we have to get blunt. Sometimes we have to speak honestly or like that commercial said, brutal honesty sometimes is what's necessary. Jesus, the Son of God, has set a standard for us that is much higher than my own, much higher than your own, and much higher than any man's standard. See, man has found ways to set a standard that if people can just do that much, that's good enough. You know, we do this. Why? Because man knows what people want to hear. And so when Paul told Timothy, the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but wishing to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers of their own accord. And that's 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. Now, what that means is, if one person tells you you have to meet certain standards and another person says you don't have to do that much, who are you going to go with? Well, I mean, let's face it. You're going to go with what's the easiest. You're just like water. You follow the path of least resistance. You're like a sheep. You just follow whoever takes off. And that's how they operate. Unless someone is guiding them, then they're just going to go off and they'll just wander off. They'll be so busy eating, they'll not notice the rest of the flock has walked, gone away. I mean, so Jesus set that standard that we need to look forward to. And so from the passage we just read, Jesus did no sin. Well, that kind of leaves me out, doesn't it? Leaves you out too. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of his glory. But you know, the point of this is not that we have to be perfect. Even though what the Bible, Matthew 5:44 says, be ye perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And Peter pretty much said the same thing. We're supposed to be perfect as he is perfect. What does that mean? When you get down and look at what the Bible translation of the word perfect is, means complete, mature, lacking in nothing. Now, we can do that. We can get there. But it's going to take effort on our part. So what higher standard than that for us to set our sights upon? We need to set our sights to be like Jesus. We need to work on that. I mean, it's just not going to happen if you go to church one time a week and you never study your Bible. It's not going to happen that way. We need to set our sights on what does God want? And really, if you read the Bible and you understand the Bible, what God wants is for us to behave like Christ. We'll notice a few things about that in a moment. We should follow his steps. And how does that compare to the standards we've set for ourselves? I mean, sometimes we want to be like Daddy. If Daddy was a faithful Christian, we want to be like Daddy, so that's our standard. And the problem is, his daddy was probably a lot more spiritually minded than your daddy was, unless they came to understand the gospel. And so, as generations go, things just aren't as important anymore to the next generation. What really excites one generation, the next generation, no big deal. I mean, it's just like fads that come and go. One group that, I mean, some of the music that we listen to. I mean, yeah, different types of music come and go. But the standard, following in the steps of Jesus, has to be the highest standard of all. And that's what's really important if we're thinking about our spiritual welfare. See, someone may suggest that God never expected man to reach such a high standard. You really want to go there? No, God does expect us to reach that high standard. He expects us to strive for that high standard. Does that mean we'll ever reach it? Probably not. But you know what? If we're making the effort, that's what God is going to remember, that we made the effort. No, I'll never be able to walk on water unless it's frozen water. And I'll never be able to heal anybody of their sicknesses. I have enough time healing myself. But anyway, I mean, reaching that standard is our goal. It's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to set our sights on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And that's where we need to go. And sometimes we just don't do that. So just as a high jump, man does not excel until he sets his sights on a standard that is higher than it has been in the past. Now that should make a lot of sense to you. You're not going to improve until you improve. And then, guess what? You've set a standard where maybe somebody else can come along and do it better than you. And that's why records are meant to be broken. They're out there. Yeah, there's a lot of records out there they say will never be broken. And saying never, I mean, that's just going too extreme. You know, because really, 3,158 strikeouts was good for Walter Johnson, who kept that record for about 50-some-odd years until a fellow by the name of Nolan Ryan comes along and beats that record. And shortly after Nolan Ryan beat the record, about four others have already passed Walter Johnson. A site they said would never, a record never be broken. Now all of a sudden, five people have gone beyond that. Now they're saying Nolan Ryan's record will never be broken. We don't know that. I'm making all these sports references, so I hope you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do know what sports are. All right. See, Jesus lived a life that is worthy of our imitation. And the following traits he possessed should also be ours. We're going to look at a few things about Jesus, and actually tonight's sermon is going to be becoming more like Jesus. And so we're going to see a lot of things tonight of what Jesus did and see if we can measure up to what Jesus did. But for right now, let's just notice that Jesus was obedient to his Father. Jesus obeyed God. And that's what he said, "I do always those things that please him." You know, John 8 and verse 29. "And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do." John 14 and verse 31. And we should learn that if Christ pleased the Father by keeping his commandments, so we also will please God if we keep his commandments. I mean, how hard is that to figure out? It's not hard at all. I mean, it should be very plain and simple to understand. When we obey God, we are acting just like Christ did. See, we can reach that standard. Well, Christ did a lot of things, that's true. But yet, if we will go through and look at each one of those things that Christ was said to have done, we can do that. Can we do all of them? Who knows? Maybe we can. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John 14, 15. And so, yes, keeping God's commandments are because we love God and what God did for us. God so loved us, he gave us his Son. And God, while we were yet sinners, he gave his Son. His Son died for us while we were yet sinners. So God has shown his mercy and grace to us. Now, can we be obedient to God? Well, let's put it this way. Some people can, well, there's a few things here, but they don't really want to learn everything that would make one obedient to God. If they just have two or three, I can do that. I mean, they can go through life thinking, "I'm such a good person because I don't curse, I don't drink, I don't cheat." I mean, some people can, and they think that's doing pretty good. But yet the Bible is just full of things that Jesus told us to do. And his apostles told us to do. And the Bible, the Holy Spirit, gave us instruction how to do these things. And if we know if we do those things, it's the right thing to do, what happens if we don't do them? James 4:17. "To him that knoweth the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." All right, so One thing about Jesus, his love was as great as the Father's love. You know, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, "Be thou clean." You know, that's what he did. Here's a leper comes along. Lepers were, they don't get close to them. And it's almost as if nowadays, that guy has COVID, don't touch him. Jesus went over and touched him anyway. Why? Because that guy was suffering. And Jesus had compassion on him. You know, God did the same thing. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Mark 10:21. And then God loved us and gave us his son. John 3:16. And God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he does that. Another thing Jesus did, he possessed moral courage. See, then he said, some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly. See, the officials wanted to arrest Jesus, so they sent some soldiers to go get him, and they started listening to him, and he was speaking truth. He was talking about serving God and pleasing God and getting our minds focused on spiritual thoughts and everything. And these soldiers, they never heard anyone talk like that. And why? This guy makes total sense. Why do they want to kill him? And so they were questioning that among themselves. And then they, we're not going to do this. This guy's speaking truth. We're not going to mess with that. So they went back and said, hey, we never heard anyone speak like this before. Now, when speaking of the Christ, he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So he went through the same temptations that you and I go through. And yes, we go through a lot. Every day, we're bombarded by Satan. He's trying to get us away from God. And so he's trying to tempt us in any way we can. Maybe we have problems. Some people have problems with gambling. They can't pass up one of those lotto machines without putting money in there and hoping they can get some money out of it. And there are some people like that. Some people may have had problems with drugs, and some have overcome that and stopped doing it. And that's great. But a lot of people don't. Some people return to it. Other temptations, like an alcoholic. It's kind of hard to walk into a bar and not order a drink for these people. And so, best thing for them, stay out of the bars. And so, Jesus, it doesn't matter what the temptation is. Maybe it's lust. Sometimes you can look at a billboard and lust. Just what's showing on the billboard. And if our minds are focused properly, we can realize that, yes, Jesus, he was tempted just like we are. He knows what we're going through. And that was the point of the Hebrews writer. He knows what you're going through. He knows how hard it is to not give in to the indulgence that the world gets into. He knows it's difficult sometimes. See, Jesus spoke boldly about God and his kingdom. Not only that, the apostles did as well. They spoke boldly about God and his kingdom. That's really why their speaking was so effective, because they spoke boldly about it. A lot of preachers today, they don't speak boldly. But we should. We should speak boldly about God and his kingdom. I remember the days and heard a lot of preachers that they did a lot of shouting, a lot of yelling, a lot of pounding on the pulpit and making noise and making a point. Jesus did not shrink from responsibility. That's something we're guilty of. We do shrink from our responsibility. See, he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Here's this 12-year-old kid. Mom and Dad's worried about him because he wasn't in the caravan. So they went and found him in the temple. And he said, "I must be about my Father's business." See, Jesus said unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, John 4:34. And Jesus said, I have a purpose on this earth to do God's will and to complete what God wants. So he knew full well exactly what his business was and what he was supposed to do. And so that's what we should be focusing on, doing God's will and finishing his work. How do we do that? When faith is made perfect. See, Jesus was the finisher, author and the finisher of the faith. See, Paul felt the same way. I mean, he stated this, 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. This is the way God, the way Paul felt about it. I have the ability to teach, and if I don't teach, woe is me. I'm in trouble. And you know what? We can probably say that about a lot of preachers. They have the ability and they do it, and they wouldn't feel right not doing it. They would think, you know, I have the ability and the talent, why not? It's just like some of us have gotten into the technology. Yeah, we do the Zoom meeting, and so we've kind of gotten used to that this past year. But having a website, I mean, not too many preachers have websites. But you know what? I learned it. I had the ability, and I said, you know what? I can help people this way. And so that's why I put it together. Jesus was focused. Yeah, we're supposed to fix our gaze on Jesus, but Jesus was also focused. See, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that what was lost. Like I said, Jesus had a purpose. His purpose was to do God's will. What is God's will? God's will is that none perish. So what happens? Jesus comes to do God's will by teaching people what they need to know in order to not perish. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, Luke 9:62. You know, this reference might be lost with some of you, but many years ago, before they had computer guided and GPS guided tractors, farmers would get out there and all they had was a donkey or an oxen and a plow. So what he would do when he get ready to start his field, he would start at one point and he'd look ahead, just like the fixing your gaze. For most of them, it's like you look at that little tree down there between the two ears of the donkey. Okay, that's where I'm going, and you go straight for it. Then all the other rows lined up with that. But if a guy's looking around and looking back, then his rows are going to be kind of crooked. And then as he goes through and plows the rest of his field, it's all going to be crooked. We also should be focused on the things of God. We should be doing that. And we should be setting our thoughts up there, setting our sights on God. You know, setting your things. Look here, Colossians 3. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. I mean, what is important is eternity and where we're going to spend it. And we have to recognize that. If we don't serve God, we're going to be in a horrible place in eternity. But if we serve him to the best of our ability, he's going to recognize that. He's going to reward us for it. Yeah, we may not be perfect, but at least if we're trying, that's what counts with God. Jesus spoke plainly. nowadays people who speak plainly are ostracized and say, oh no, cancel culture, we can't have anybody speaking plainly. I mean, that's just too offensive to somebody. I mean, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, here Jesus saying, plain and simple, you can't see the kingdom of God. You won't get there. And he also said that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I mean, that was speaking plainly. I mean, he was telling it like it is. Nowadays, we'd have to rewrite that and edit it and take out everything that is offensive. Well, we have to remove sin because sin is an offensive word. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't like talking about dying, so we leave that part out. And by the time you get done, you got three words in this whole sentence. Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus spoke the truth, and he spoke it plainly. And Paul was very bold in his speech. See, he wrote, but even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we have made this evident to you in all things. Paul did not consider himself a public speaker. He was very crass in his speech, and it wasn't refined. It was like a good old country boy and didn't try and civilize his language to make it understood plainly. But yet he had a lot of knowledge, and what he demonstrated in his life, the fact that he really believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he wanted people to see that and to understand that, and he wanted people to obey the gospel, because that's where salvation was, by obeying the gospel. Something else about Jesus, he was willing to serve. You know, not so with a lot of people. See, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20 and verse 28. And he rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel. John 13, 4 and 5. So if we are to follow the example of Christ, we should serve also. Yes, that's what we call the servant mentality. And if there's any one word that describes a Christian more than anything else, it is a servant. And that's what we have to do. Yeah, we can come up with all sorts of a Christian righteous, a Christian faithful, a Christian this or that. But if you want a true description, servant. Now, a lot of people just want to be served. Here's what Paul said. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. See, we're here to serve each other. Our goal and the service we provide is one of encouragement, one of building up. It's one of trying to help people get to heaven. That is what we are supposed to be doing here. We're just not coming here to fulfill a spiritual requirement that we can check off our list. We're coming here to serve one another, to help each other get their life straight and right and keep it on the straight and narrow so they can go to heaven. That's what our job is. See, these, and like I say, many other qualities. We're going to talk about 40 qualities of Jesus tonight when we have our lesson. We're going to talk about 40 qualities of Jesus. And he can serve as a role model for us. You know, nowadays, what do people use as role models? They use people from the entertainment world, from the sports world. And there's some pretty sorry examples out there. Let's just put it that way. And they're not role models for any stretch of the imagination. He's a role model for us, giving us an example worthy of following. And Jesus does that. And we are given the task of doing that. Folks, we must be doing that. If we're not following Jesus, if we're not following his example and doing those things that he did, we're in trouble. So the question is, where have you set the bar in reference to your life and your example? Well, for some people, well, if I make it to church once every 2 or 3 weeks, I'll be doing all right. And they're satisfied with that. Some people are just content to be a pew warmer. As long as they warm the pew, hey, that's fine. That's all I really need. I can still get to go to heaven, right? I mean, yeah, you can deceive yourself all you want. I mean, Galatians 6 talks about the fact, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he will also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he will from the flesh reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he will reap from the Spirit eternal life. So it's a matter of choice. What are we going to do? Do you truly believe that in just giving just your leftovers to Christ, that you are following his steps, following his example? You think Christ would be like you? I mean, think about this. Let's reverse the roles. What if Christ was like me? Do you think he ever would have gone to the cross? Just a question. See, we have a high standard to live up to. And that's why we gather together as a congregation to encourage each other to reach that high standard. And that doesn't go just for the preacher. It goes for everybody. We all should be striving for that high standard, because what's going to be the result if we strive for it? Heaven will be the result. And we all want heaven. We all want to go to heaven. If I said, show me let me see a show of hands who wants to go to heaven, everybody raised their hand. See, if you've not yet lived up to the highest of all standards, it is time you get started doing so. So consider that. I mean, you can do it. Consider what the disciples went through back then. Yeah, they went and did a lot of preaching, and they converted a lot of souls, but yet they faced a lot of persecution as well. They went through a lot. I mean, they suffered. They went to prison. They were stoned. They were beaten. They were all sorts of things done to them. But yet, they were not willing to give up. So if we get busy with his work and promote the kingdom of heaven to others, that's what we should be doing. We should be inviting people to church and inviting people to have Bible studies. If they don't feel comfortable going to church, invite them for a Bible study. And we can teach them that way. Jesus needs workers. He said, yeah, we need workers out there. The fields are white unto harvest. And you say, well, I don't know any lost souls. Really? Practically in this city, everybody outside of these doors, these walls, are lost. So we just hope that after this, you set the standard high enough for yourself that you'll be one of those faithful workers doing your best. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be mature. We're supposed to be complete. We're supposed to be all of these things that Jesus was. The question is, are you? Are you working on it? I hope you can be working on it. If not, I hope you can start working on it. Because that's the only way anybody's going to go to heaven. Think about those things. That's our lesson. It's a simple lesson. I hope you understood it. And maybe you can do something about it. But we do offer an invitation to those who need to obey the gospel and those who maybe have obeyed the gospel, but yet they've let their faith waver and they've let their faith get the better of them, and maybe they have a low standard that they've set for themselves, and you recognize, I need to do better. We'll be glad to pray for you if that's the case. So whatever your situation, we invite you to come all together. We stand and sing.